Right. Good to see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. And we're going to turn over to page number 120. And we're going to start off singing what they were just playing. Page 120, everyone stand with me tonight, and let's sing about the victory we have in Jesus Christ. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory on the last. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory. Standing, we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight, and then I'm going to have Brother Brian come up. He's going to share a little bit of news with us, but let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be back in your house this evening. Lord, you've been good to us today. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning and the messenger. Lord, we look forward to what CJ has for us this evening. Lord, I pray that you just be with us in a very special way. Lord, you know exactly what we need tonight. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, I pray again that you just be in the service. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for those that might be visiting with us tonight. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon them. Lord, I pray again that you just be with us, and we'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Well, I'm going to just tell you that our dear brother Dion, he needs some help from God. This morning, we pleaded with God and we cried out to God, and he had a brain surgery this morning to remove something. And when they got in there, they realized that he has an aggressive form of cancer, and he's going to be in the hospital in ICU for a few days, and then he's going to be moved to St. Joseph, where he'll get radiation every day for 6 straight weeks. And I don't know much beyond that, but you can imagine that was not the news that they had prayed for or hoped for. And they just need a touch from God. They just really do. And this is a family that's not foreign to getting help from God. But if you know Dion, one of the strongest men I've ever met, just a great, great man, a good friend. If you know him, he's your friend. And so I just ask you guys to continue to pray out. They said specifically to pray for DNA. That's their daughter, and she has just taken this horribly. Her mom just fought cancer for 2 years, and she's now cancer-free but greatly weakened from all the chemo. And then Dion, just that mighty guy, has got cancer in his brain. And so we're going to pray with all our hearts for that. And maybe tonight, by the end of the service, we can do that. Okay.
Let's do, everyone that would like to come to the altar tonight, let's just take a few minutes and just pause and ask the Lord to intervene. He's able. He's still the great physician, the one in charge and in control. We just want to take a few moments and just spend some time and ask the Lord to be with the family. Ceylon, would you come and voice our prayer, but everyone that will and can, if we could all just spend some time before the Lord tonight and ask Ceylon if he will take us to the Lord in a word of prayer.
Let's all pray, okay? Father, we come to you tonight. We need your help. Father, I pray for Dion. I pray for his family, Father. I lift them up to you. The doctors doesn't give us a very good report.
Touch my friend.
But that's when you can do the best. That's when you can act. That's when you can touch. That's when you can heal. I ask you for that tonight. I ask you to touch Dion. I ask you to heal his body. I ask you to be with the family, strengthen and encourage them. Father, we don't know what we can do. There's nothing we can do but pray and ask you for your help. We trust you. We know that you know what's best for us. You know what the deal was before we ever found out. But when the doctors give up, there's nothing much they can do, then that's when you can do what needs to be done. I also pray for Miss Frances tonight. I ask you to be with her. I ask you to touch her. Father, I ask you to touch her body. I ask you to heal her. And others in our church that are struggling, whatever it might be, Father, we just ask you to be real to each one. We pray for our church tonight. I pray for CJ as he stands tonight that you would use him. Speak to our hearts, that you have for us tonight. Have your way in this place. And all these things we ask and thank you for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father. What's that? Jesus, Jesus.
there's something about that name. Sing it again, church. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. He's Master, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and there's something about that
I don't know if I can do this or not. Let's be honest. If you've got your Bible, we're going to look at Jonah tonight. I got that call earlier this afternoon, and I don't know, hoped it was a dream, I guess, but Dion's one of my favorite people on this planet. He really is. He's obnoxiously strong. I mean, obnoxiously strong. When I was fresh out of college, I had no money and was willing to work for nearly pennies, which worked out because that's what he paid. So I went to work for him, and we spent some time. We would do whatever. You know, he would do most of the work. I was mostly the go-get stuff. He'd say size 14 wrench, I'd bring him back a size 13. It took him a while to realize I was ADD. He had to really hit me with the wrench to help me understand. That's the South African way. I didn't know. I learned it. But anyway, I enjoyed my time working with him. But I'll never forget one of my favorite times. We were working on a motor, and he said, it was on a boat. He said, you have to lift it and get it where it needs to go. And I said, Dion, there's no forklift here. We're not going to lift this engine. He used one of his favorite phrases, move boy. I said, okay, you show me, big man. He did. He lifted that motor. Strained, and got that thing lifted and put it where it needed to go. But I absolutely love that man. But tonight we're going to look at Jonah, and I'm thankful for that strength. He will use that. He'll fight this. If anyone can whoop it, it's Dion Lauder. if there's anyone who can whoop it, it's him. And I appreciate that. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, the preaching that I bid thee." Verse 3 says, "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh." That's a stark contrast to the first chapter, right? And the first thing I think of when I think of Jonah is it's always going to be easier to listen to God the first time, right? Some of us, Jackson said earlier, he was reading something online. He said if people ask you, you know, how you learn best, he said it's probably better that you don't tell them the hard way. He said, although it seems to be true. I thought, oh, kid, you have no idea what's coming your way. God bless you, kid. It seems like CJ is along that school of learning sometimes the hard way. And it's just so much easier just to do things right. I have children. I think there's only four. It feels like there's more than that most of the time. But all of them have my DNA in them, and I'm thankful for that, right? That's the best way to do things, I guess, if you're going to have four kids. But that also means that all of them also learned the hard way. And I can't tell you how many times we have told them, hey, listen, if you do that, I'm going to have to spank you. And it seems like that, you know, the older ones, Jackson tells me I'm soft now. I don't think that that's true. But with Jackson and Carter, there was no, I mean, they knew it's going to get a pop. Charlie has discovered that she's cute, right, and that somehow she knows that she's number four and she's the last one, and she knows that if she bats those eyes just right, there might be just one more chance, right? You get just one more chance. But I will tell you, there comes a time where it's like, all right, listen, the first whipping was going to be bad. I've told you three times now, the whipping is going to be really bad. Leave your gun at home. It's good parenting. I have to do it. I'm looking at their pawpaw. He's like, don't you spank those babies. Those babies have done no wrong. But I'm thankful that I have a God who loves me enough that while it is certainly easier to do things right the first time, I'm thankful that we have a God who allows me to have a second opportunity. I'm thankful that we have a God who provides a whale, right? I love that it says that the Lord prepared a big fish, right? The Lord prepared that. The Lord knew we were stupid. He prepared a cross to keep us out of hell. He prepared a fish to keep, you know, Jonah from drowning, right? Of all things, you would think maybe a life jacket would be sufficient. No, God's got a very creative mind. He created an ADD CJ. You can only imagine how creative he is. He made the giraffe of all things, right? What animal needs a 30-foot neck, right? But God saw that. He created that. God is a creative God. And so I'm thankful that we have a God who holds us accountable, but God who is understanding and kind and loving and says, you're going to be stupid sometimes and I'm going to love you anyway. You're going to make bad decisions, but I'm going to love you anyway. You know what Dion and I talked about yesterday? He chewed me out. Yesterday, he was laying in the hospital bed. And by the way, I didn't know. I talked to him nearly every day. And I talked to him 2 days ago, and I said, it was about 9. I said, Dion, has Aunt Elna brought you your coffee yet? He goes, well, she would have. I was like, well, what's wrong with that woman? She's the only woman I know who brings her husband coffee in bed 7 days a week. If my wife brings me coffee in bed, I'm going to be wearing it. It's not going to be a fun, comfortable experience. It's going to be terrible. So I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I would have if I was at home. I said, are you on another cruise? No. I said, you in Gatlinburg? No. I said, Dion, I'm out of guesses. Where are you, buddy? He said, I'm at the hospital. I didn't expect that. So anyway, that ended up with us having a conversation about how what a pain in the rear it is to deal with. Okay, well, who knows what's going on? This doctor thinks that, this doctor. What time is the doctor going to be by? Oh, well, it's the weekend, so we have no idea. That was a conversation we were having yesterday morning. And he said, CJ, you must take care of yourself, or you will be laying here in the bed. You got to get out of racetrack. No more donuts. I'm like, listen, the kids call me a big back. I don't need it from you too, man. I can't fight everybody. I get at least some generation has to think I'm okay. The old people think I'm fat. The young people think I'm fat. The mirror says I'm fat. I'm starting to think it's a conspiracy and you're all in on it. But he said, no, you must take care of yourself. He said, you have to take care of yourself. He said, because right now you're the only one who can keep you out of the hospital. He said, no more energy drinks. I said, don't worry. Charlie chewed me out on that yesterday. That energy drink has been resolved. I'm not allowed to buy them anymore. Because, again, she's cute but forceful. But anyway, I'm so, so thankful for that conversation. I'm thankful that he loved me enough, but I'm thankful that we have a God who provides second chances, third chances, fourth chances, 7 times 7, right? I'm thankful that there's no end to the love, to the mercy, to the kindness of God, to the fact that he even allows me to breathe sometimes blows my mind, right? We say all the time, if there was a screen and God could play the darkest moment of your life for the entire church to see, you would run out of here like your hair was on fire. God not only knows it, he was there for it. And he was there when it was over. And he loves you today. And it didn't change the way he thinks about you at all, right? He still has a plan for you. He still has a plan for me. That blows my mind. I don't deserve his love the first time. But the fact that he loves me continually and that he still has a plan for me. He saw the darkest moments of my life. The things that I've even thought, he knows those. And he still loves me. He sees my weaknesses. He sees my everything. And he still cares for me. That's absolutely mind-boggling to me. But I'm thankful that he teaches us that it's always easier to follow him the first time. We're going to jump back to chapter 1. And you're all familiar with this story, right? Jonah, you've heard it, you've read it. This is the Sunday night crowd. I feel like I'm teaching the elders of the church, and that's a daunting experience, right? But you're overly familiar with the story. But Jonah is told, go to Nineveh, and he decides, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. You know, first thing he says, he decides he's not going to. Second thing, he finds a way not to. And the third thing, he pays for it. You know what I mean? If you're willing to pay to sin, you're committed, right? We're Baptist. We're cheap, right? We ain't willing to spend no kind of money we ain't got to. But he said, I'm willing to pay to get out of this. I will pay, and boy, did he ever. And the payment that he made wasn't just out of his pocket, right? He jumped on the boat with some innocent dudes who were just trying to go out and do what they do, and he put their lives in danger. That's one of the things that blows my mind about drunk drivers, right? If you're stupid and you want to get in a vehicle intoxicated, I hate that. But you know what I really hate is that my daughter's on the other side of the road just trying to get to ballet practice. None of my kids do ballet. That's just what ADD brought to my mind at the moment. You know, they're trying to get to, my kids do everything under the sun. They baseball, and Jackson's in 32 bands, and we're now doing cheerleading. That's exhilarating in the worst way. But it's also expensive because apparently you can't just have one uniform and call it good. That's not how that world works. But anyway, that's not today's problem. But I'm thankful the Lord shows us that while he decided to reach in his own pocket and buy that ticket, it ended up costing a lot of other people, right? The other guys on this boat just trying to go to work, right? They're just trying to do what they do. He jumps on the boat with them, and he goes down to the bottom, and what's he do? Somebody knows. What's he do? He goes to sleep. He goes to sleep. He essentially takes a hand grenade, pulls the pin, throws that thing out, and then goes, I think I'm going to take a nap now. Right? I've sent some text messages that I knew were going to cause problems for me, and then there's that moment of hee-hee-hee, and I'm talking about, like, to my wife and kids, right? I'm not talking about anything crazy. Y'all are like, what's he doing? Is he fighting strangers on the internet? No. But you know, you send one to your wife, and you're like, I know this is going to cost me, but I'm in danger, you know? But anyway, that happens sometimes. And that's essentially what he did. He pulled it, he threw the grenade, and he goes down below the deck, and he's taking a nap, right? And that's where we find him in verse, we'll start in verse 4. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And by the way, if the Lord sends a storm, it's probably going to be a doozy. Again, we talked earlier, he's creative, right? It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster, so he is sound asleep. And then they wake him up. Let's see, where'd he go? ADD right there. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call unto thy God, if so be that that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And it's just wild to think that our sin, right? You think, oh, no one's going to know about this, right? This will just be my little thing. No one's going to know about this. This will just be, you know, just this little addiction, just this little thing, just whatever it is. It's not that big a deal. And you know what happens? You end up bleeding on people who had nothing to do with you. I spent a long time at the children's home, and one of the things I learned there, hurting people hurt people, right? And if you're going to love those kids and if you're going to choose to be in the lives of those cats, at some point, you're probably going to get bled on by somebody you never cut, right? You're trying to suture somebody back up, and they're going to get cut on. By the way, it's not just unique to them. It's unique to everybody. It's unique to all of us. If you're going to love people, if you're going to love hurting, broken Christians who are living in a world full of sin, trying to live for God, you're going to get bled on sometimes. And you're going to say, I did no wrong. And that's just part of it. You just have to say, you know what, God, I'm thankful for my first, second, third, fourth, 15th time. God, and I'm just as pumped to be part of this person's first, second, third, fourth, 15th time. Lord, I'm going to be so thankful that you didn't give up on them. You know what one of my favorite days was? I have an uncle who's been in and out of jail my entire life. Sometimes I forget this goes out into the World Wide Web, and he's just liable to see this. Love you, Unc. But he did. He's been in and out of jail since I can remember. I remember about 10 years ago, I called my grandmother and says, hey, how's Uncle insert name here? And she said, oh, he's in jail. I said, oh, I hate that. What happened? She goes, well, he was riding a motorcycle with no helmet. I said, well, that's stupid, but, you know, seems like they just be like, dude, put the bike over there, go get a helmet and get it home, you know. She goes, well, he was also not in a county where he's supposed to be because he's on probation in this county. I was like, oh, that's frowned on. Yeah, I can see where that's going to be a problem. He also had some things in his system that he shouldn't. I'm like, bro, one law at a time. Like, let's calm down. Save some laws for the rest of us to break, man. Some of us just want to speed. You taking all the laws, you're going to break them all at one time? But anyway, he did. And unfortunately found himself in a bad situation. But you know what? He found love. He found the love of God while he was there in his life. Now he's been, I think, 10 years completely clean. He's changed his life in a great radical way and attributes most of that to God and his own great efforts, which, you know, is certainly true. And I love that God shines on him. And if you'd asked me 15 years ago, I'd have said, oh, he's going to be in this, he's going to be in this cycle the rest of his life. He's going to do good for a year, and he's going to do bad for two. He's going to do good for a year. But my grandmother never stopped praying for him. My grandmother, she's got some prayer gals from her church. She prayed for him. And I'm thankful that God let me see someone get that first, fourth, 15th time and beyond and do something with their life. Because you know what it tells me? It tells me that God's still working on me, right, to make me what I ought to be. I thought it was ought to be, and my family made great fun of me when I sung it that way. Amanda specifically goes, ought to? Ought to? Where were you raised? I was like, McEachern High School. Anyway, she's like, well, that explains a lot. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But when we choose to ignore God, and by the way, this is a great example of that, because he didn't just go, I'm not sure about that. He did a 180. God said, go that way. He said, no, I'm going to go the other way. And he was willing to pay us. And these people who were innocent, right, they're mariners. They're just merchants out on the sea, just trying to do their job. And now they're possibly dying, right? They're literally throwing their belongings over the side of the ship. They're looking at death, right? Jackson recently choked on a piece of steak at night, and this was funny. I said, buddy, are you okay? His mom was asking about that. He goes, it was scary. I couldn't breathe. I looked death in the eyes. I was like, bro, you need less TV in your life. You need to calm down. We're taking cable out of your bedroom. But anyway, that's what he said. But these men were literally looking death in the eye because of something they had nothing to do with. And this joker's just asleep. Just asleep. And I don't want to be guilty of that. I don't want to just sleep through the hell that I created in someone else's life. Right? I don't want to be guilty of just resting through the problems I created for someone else. I love God, and I love that he holds us accountable, and I love that he sees all, and I love that he's not going to let things just slide, right? I love that he's going to wake us up, and it's going to be a lot worse than, oh, sleepyhead, you know, oh, sluggard. The last thing I discovered is that in verse 13, and I've read this story quite a few times, but I've missed this. We'll start in verse 11. It says, "Then they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea..." This is after he's already told them, "Hey, guys, it's my bad. I drew the short straw. Oopsie daisies," whatever exactly it was he said. This has already happened. So verse 11 says, "Then they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake the great tempest is upon you." If my wife had been on that ship, I promise you, the next verse would say, "And Amanda pushed him." I promise you, the next verse would say, "And Amanda said, I hope you can swim. Here's you a rubber ducky, my man. Get off my boat." You know, if CJ had been on that ship, it would say, CJ giggled and said, "Sorry, bruv. I got things to do. I left Charlie at the house, and she's cute. I got to see her again. I got things I got to do. I ain't going to die for you, right? I like you, but I ain't fixing to die for you. Not tonight, not today." But instead, it says that these, and again, it says these were not Christians, right? They were looking out to other gods. And verse 13 says, "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land." Did the non-Christians just go out of their way to save the Christian? He says, "Guys, God told me to do something, and I looked him in the eyes and said, no, I ran from him, and now I'm here, and the only thing you can do is throw me off this ship." And instead of shoving him, instead of pushing him, they grabbed their oars to save a Christian who God had sent to save other people, and he said, "Nope. Nope." God is using sinful people. He's using people who don't have the help of the Holy Spirit, people who don't have all the things available to you and I, are showing more kindness, more compassion to him than he had to follow the very commandment of none less than God. None less than God. And he's being outworked by them. And then it says, verse 4 says, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said," sorry, 14 says, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's sake, and lay not upon us the innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done, and it please, as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows." If that doesn't make you turn your heart unto the Lord, you know what I mean? He says, "Hey, you throw me off this boat and you're going to have peace." They're like, "Nah, bro, we got you. You're just having a fit. You're just having a moment." "Well, that didn't work. Sorry, man. we're willing to give it a shot now." Whew. So there he goes, and then they have peace. And I would imagine that would certainly make me fall in love with the Lord, right? What was killing me a minute ago is now peaceful. Yeah, I think I like you. I think we're going to get along just fine. And then verse 17 says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." It always cost to wait. It always cost to wait. God loves us, and God's going to give us another chance, right, most of the time. You ignore God on salvation, you've only got so many times. But when God is calling you to do something, I don't care if it's to preach, I don't care if it's to go to Africa, I don't care if it's to tell your neighbor about Jesus. By the way, it blows my mind. Everyone's like, "Oh, I'm answering the call. I'm going to be a missionary to somewhere I don't speak the language." And if God calls you to that, then get gone. You know what I mean? I've got your back. I'll be the first one to support you. Please go. But if you haven't even told your neighbor about Jesus, right? If the bank teller you go see every Friday afternoon goes, "You're a Christian?" Maybe you need to fix some things before you start raising deputation, right? And again, I'm not saying anything against missionaries. God knows I love them and when we need them. But let's be missionaries right here, right? Let's be a missionary at our bank. Let's be a missionary at our businesses. Let's be a missionary to our clients. Let's be a missionary to the vendors we use. Let's be a missionary right here in our field, right? Why don't we reach Powder Springs for Christ? Why don't we reach the people we work with, right? That ugly person that's mean every day, right? Why don't we ask God to reach out to them instead of just watching with hopes that they tripped one more time down the stairs? Oh, too personal? Sorry. That was someone in my life. But why don't we be missionaries right here, right? We want God to go send us somewhere, and we won't even do what he's asking us to do here. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that we have a God who says, I love you. I love you forever. I love you no matter what. But the longer you wait, the harder that cost is going to be, right? A friend of mine, I called him. I may have told you this before. I apologize if I have. My friend Clay, I called him about 5 years ago, and I said, hey, man, there's something in my life that doesn't belong there. I said, it's not crazy, you know what I mean? It's not anything, you know, I'm not smoking cigarettes or something. I said, but it's something that doesn't belong there, and it could hurt me. I said, so I need you to hold me accountable. And he goes, okay, that's cool. He goes, how much are you willing to pay for that? I said, run that by me one more time. He goes, well, how much are you willing, what cost are you willing to pay for that? I said, well, I mean, I really don't want to pay anything for it. He goes, well, just so you know, every time you open your life to that, he said, you're pulling a credit card out and you're swiping it. Right? You know that one cigarette won't give you cancer? Right? One cigarette will not kill you in all likelihood, but 30 years of smoking is going to create a problem for you. Right? That's the truth. We don't like it, but it's the simple truth. And so that's what he asked me. He said, how many times are you going to run that credit card before you let it come due? He said, and the interest, man, he said, it's out of control. He said, so put your credit card up. He said, get that thing out of your life. Amen. He said, so let's do it. And that's what I want to do as a person, as a church. I want to put our credit cards up. I want to quit keeping score. I want to just say, God, I surrender all, right? We sing that song all the time, I surrender all. Mike Baker and I sing I Surrender Some if we're beside each other because we feel like we shouldn't lie in church. Right, we've made up verses like what I didn't really want anyway. You can have that, you know. I surrender some, you know, and so that's why we're not allowed to sit by each other in church anymore, too. Where what they call a distraction on the back row back there, they make us sit on the opposite sides of the church. Sometimes even put me in children's church, which works because it's closer to my IQ level. But that's neither here nor there. But I do. I want to surrender. I want to say, God, here's my credit card. I don't know what the bill is. I don't know how much I've harmed myself with this sin, but God, I know that you can beat it. I know that you died for everything. Lord, I know that your blood atones for all of my sin. Even though this seems huge and stupid, God, you paid for it. God, and you want me to have a life of peace. You want me to have a life that I enjoy. You want me to have a life that's worth living. So God, I know you can beat this. And with Uncle Dion, I know God can beat that cancer. I'm not thinking about that again, or I'll be a blubber and a mess again. But I know God can do that. But if he doesn't, I know he's still God. I don't want to think about that, but if he doesn't, I know he's still God. And if I'm facing cancer tomorrow, I know he can heal it. But I know if I don't, tell my kids he's still God. Let's go ahead and let's honor him the first time. Let's just choose today. And let's not say, though, this is just a little sin. Because, again, I know you're the Sunday night crowd. You're like, dude, we showed up on Sunday night. What you talking about sin in our life? Unless I'm paying interest on a credit card, there ain't no sin around here. It's going to get paid off by the end of the month anyway. You know, there ain't no sin. I did three over the other day coming down the East-West Connector. Is that a sin? You know, I'm aware of who you are. I'm aware that you are God. But I'm also aware that good enough is never good enough. Right? The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags to God. Nothing but his blood makes us even worthy to speak to the holy God of heaven, yet for some reason he wants us. Yet for some reason he's willing to put up with us being stupid and sinning again and again and again. So tonight, let's just say, God, we give you the credit card. We give you our decisions. God, we give you the ability to make us something because we are useless. Most of y'all are all right. CJ is useless, right? I have no business speaking for God. None. But for some reason, God loves me. And for some reason, God loves you. And for some reason, we're here tonight. And so I would say, let's just give that over to God and say, God, whatever it is in your life, in my life, God, would you show me? Lord, would you show me what needs cleaning? Would you show me what needs sharpening? Would you show me what doesn't belong there? Will you show me who I can love? Will you show me the neighbor who needs you that I would never think about? I have two clients right now who are in hospice care, just waiting any minute. And if the Lord hadn't shown me them, one of them in particular, I said, I'm sure you're surrounded by a great group of support, but if you need anything, let me and Amanda know. We'd be happy to help. And she said, well, I'm supposed to get an aide tomorrow. She said, but if not, do you think your wife could come just sit with my husband long enough for me to take a shower? A shower? And so I said, yes, she would love to. And then I said, Amanda, guess what you get to do? She said, I would love to know before I make commitments like that. And God gave me another chance. But let's just give that to God. Let's say, God, who can I serve? Because, by the way, getting saved is awesome, right? It really is. Having a life that we don't deserve is a really cool thing. But you know what's really cool beyond that? Using the rest of this life to serve God. Because if God's shown me anything through the life I've had so far, it's that it's fragile. It's that the strongest of men, right? I mean the strongest of men. I watched Dion one night. We were working on a truck, and I know it's not about him, but we were working on a truck, and he was using a plasma cutter, and he cut a piece of metal, and as he went to roll so it would lay into the earth, it evidently cut sooner than he expected, and that thing was literally glowing red, molten, liquid metal. It landed on his chest, and he said, your mother never loved you, and other things that I'm very thankful I don't know what were. They were in a different language, probably. I definitely didn't understand them. But honest to God, I thought, he's going to die. That's going to burn a hole through his body. You know, and literally it burned a hole through his shirt. And it burned his chest. And I thought, oh my gosh. And he's, your mother never loved you. And he got out from under the truck. He threw some tools. And then we cleaned up. And he goes, now we finish. And he climbed right back under the truck. I was like, no. No, sir. Now we set the truck on fire. This is America, baby. We don't do it that way. And so, but we did. We finished out the job out there. I mean, and this was not 2 or 3 in the afternoon. This was dark 30. I mean, this was probably 11:30 at night one night. And but he just has a word. And so if he can't, you know what I mean? If he has to fight this, then God knows I need the strength of Jesus just to get through day-to-day life. And cancer and is no respecter of persons. And I know God has great things left for Dion. But I'm surprised, far more surprised, that he has things left for CJ. So if we want to play some music, my question is, being saved is awesome. But now who can we serve? Right, who can we serve? What did God save us for? For a purpose, right? Not just to hang out, right? Not just so that we could, you know, sip coffee, talk about how much we love Jesus, sing a couple songs, and then get to heaven one day. He saved us so that we could serve each other, so that we can find other people who are lost, right? So we can tell our neighbors, so we can tell our friends, we can tell our coworkers, we can be an encourager to people. We can sit with somebody and say, I can't cure your cancer, Mr. Stephen, Mr. X. But I can sit with you for 30 minutes so your wife can take a shower. I mean, a shower. She said, I would love to. She said, someone has to physically be by his side. She said, because he'll get up and fall. She said, but if one of y'all could just come so I could just take just a shower. Just a simple thing. Such a simple thing. And you know what it cost us to do that? Absolutely nothing. Right? Absolutely nothing to serve them. And we get to do that. And when we trust God, when we worship him, when we're in tune with him, those opportunities are everywhere. Those opportunities are everywhere, and he lets you be part of it. He lets us be part of it. I deserve to be a drunk in a ditch somewhere. I deserve to be in a 6 foot deep in a hole somewhere. I deserve to be in hell, if we're just being honest. But instead, God washed me up, cleaned me up. He let me shave and put a Goodwill suit on. right, and come down here to the church and speak to you. I have no business speaking to you, but God's letting me do that. And now he's letting me be an encouragement. People on their deathbeds, I get to go serve them, right? I get to befriend them. I get to go by there and say, Mr. Stephen, sorry, don't sue me. Whoever you are, I can't cure your cancer, but I can make sure your yard looks good. I can make sure that if you get the strength up to go walk to your window, that when you look outside, you go, oh, that's pretty. I can do that for you. And God lets us do that. God lets us serve each other. God lets us be there for people in monumental times. And he lets us be a source of happiness for other people. And how cool is that? Or we can just sit around like bumps on a pickle and go, oh, well, I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven one day, and it's going to be wonderful. Get off my yard. I love Jesus. You know, let's serve him. Let's use him. Well, I don't know how many days we have left. I really don't. I could be taken out tonight in a crash on the way home. Hope not. I'm in a borrowed pickup truck, and it's going to make things real awkward between me and Mr. Jeremy. But I could die tonight on the way home. There's no way of knowing. So for the time we have left, let's chase Jesus. Let's say, God, I want purpose. You think if you get on your knees and say, God, I want purpose in this life, he won't meet you there and say, here you go? I can't help but think he's going to. I can't help but think that he's going to meet us there. And my prayer is that we will have a life that matters. Lord God, we love you. We thank you that you love us, Lord. We thank you that you have a plan for our lives. We thank you that you have a purpose for us. Lord, we thank you that we're not just saved, Lord, so that we can hang out. God, we're saved so we can worship, Lord, so we can serve. Lord, so that we can be meaningful, we can have impact. Lord, so we can, one day when the end of our life is here, God, people can say, he mattered, she mattered, she was an encourager. And God, I'd say ask you to help us to find those opportunities. In your name I pray, amen.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
I would ask you, please pray for my friend. Please pray for Miss Swan and that family. The Teagues have had some issues. Pray for their health. There's a lot of pain in our church right now. Get on the phone, please, and call someone this week and say, hey, how are you doing? The Lauders have asked for us to give them a little space just to come to terms with what they're facing. So we'll respect that. But let's get on the phone with anyone else you don't see around you and check on them this week. But anyway, anything else? All hearts and minds clear, as they say? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Absolutely. Would you be okay with us praying for you right now? If y'all want to come down, deacons, if y'all want to come around, we'll be sure and pray for you right now. I will tell you, there's nothing, no promises made here. You know that. To that end, I'll tell you, when my dear father-in-law's mother was so sick, I was probably 10 years old, and they pushed her in here in a wheelchair, and we said, God, if not for you, she's going to die. And we all gathered around, prayed for her, and she died the next day. And we went to the funeral, and I remember walking in and going, y'all don't pray for me if I'm sick, because it doesn't work. And Ben Bennett grabbed my ear and ran me right back out of the bus. But anyway, we would be happy to, honored to pray for you. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for the Hooper family. We thank you that they stand for you. We thank you that you've used them for such a long time, Lord, in so many capacities. God, we ask you specifically, please touch her voice. Lord, would you touch her throat? Would you be with her? Lord, would you help her to use the talents, Lord, and the things that you've blessed her with, Lord, to serve you? Lord, what a humbling thought, God. She's begging you to help her to serve you, Lord. And I know that you would be in that. So, God, we ask you to have your will and touch them. Lord, give them your purpose. Give them your presence. Lord, would you give them your direction for life? God, help them to serve you, Lord, in a way that you would have them serve. God, and we ask you to watch over us. Lord, we ask you to be with us as we move forward, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Will do. All right. All hearts and minds clear. Nervous to ask. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night. Thank you.